book. Silva really focuses a lot on, you know, the suin and its various components. So with a small exception of, you know, the third and fourth parak, which deal with, you know, ones and mefata and those knasos, most of the Masechta really deals with the impact of Nisuin. Again, the first, you know, 7-8 dapim, you know, Nisuin itself, and it provides the opportunity to assess that contribution and the relationship between Kedushin and Nisuin and these other phases. But then beyond that, of course, already implicit in that, because partly the reason that we start with that is the role of the Ksuva, which is what we're going to begin discussing today. You know, going beyond that in terms of starting from Perek number 5, Afalpi, and going forward, you have the what we call generally Tanai Ksuva. In other words, the marriage contract. So it isn't just the Ksuva, it's what's, you know, what's contained therein. So it's, you know, the Mizonos and Pirkona and Kvura and Yerusha and all sorts of, you know, the Nedunya, the Tosefes, Nechsemilud, Nechsem Barzel. So the whole Masechta really deals with a lot of the interface between, you know, the monetary aspect of Ishus, you might say, and the personal aspect of Ishus. In one sense, this is a theme that we're going to be, you know, focusing on in the Hakdama, but it's a theme that's important to understand throughout the Masechta, really. And that is that there are really these two components. On the one hand, you know, we can let the secret out right away. On the surface, you know, the most important contribution of Nisuin beyond Erisin is on the interpersonal and, you know, intimate, you know, level. It's the personal aspect of Ishus, the Chaye Ish, the Ishto, as opposed to the Kinyan component. We'll have to be evaluating, you know, whether that is fully true according to all Shitos and what the implications of that are, and so on. But broadly speaking, you know, the Erisin is a Kinyan, you know, and the Nisuin, you know, seems to be contributing beyond that. And is it, you know, a stronger Kinyan, a second phase Kinyan? What exactly is, or is it something, it's more of a matir? What exactly is it? Is it multiple things? You know, part of our Hakdama and throughout the first parak, we're just going to split it up because we want to make progress through the Dapim, will be to analyze these issues in various aspects. And I'll explain, you know, particularly our first couple of topics in just a second. But, ironically or maybe not ironically, maybe intentionally, along with this second phase of Ishus and Nisuin also comes, you know, when you talk about the Heter Isha Labala and the, you know, the interpersonal, the emotional aspect, the experiential aspect of living together, right? So, coincidentally, or I would argue, not coincidentally, it's also accompanied by the by some of the more pragmatic, you know, aspects, including the financial relationships. That, you know, that are connected there too. So part of the issue in the Masechta, whether it's on Ksuva, which we're going to begin with, or Sher Ksus Viona, which we're just going to touch on in the beginning. I'll just give you just a couple of marmakobos just to make the point quickly. But that's also, these are major themes, as well as, you know, again, things like, you know, Pirkona and Yerushasa and so on and so forth, is to assess, you know, when is money money, and when is money, you know, when are financial entanglements or financial obligations, you know, when are they really something else, what I would call a kiyum in Ishus. One could have thought that, you know, finances are finances, and, you know, davar shebikdusha, and you know, an emotional relationship, and a heter isha labala, these are ha'ilechudekoi v'ha'ilechudekoi. And in many respects, they are. But the fact is that, you know, life is often not so neat. And the halacha, number one, is pragmatic in understanding how people and societies operate, and therefore, you know, has to relate to, you know, the other aspects as well. And since the halacha, while it's pragmatic, is also idealistic, it also knows how to elevate, you know, mutual financial and other obligations, you know, into a davar shebikdusha. That's what the halacha is really singular as a system about. So Masechet Ksuvos, a lot of it at least, is really about you know, the relationship between these two things, the integration of these two things, you know, which, you know, when we get the clear signals, you know, that we're dealing with not just mammon within Ishus, or mammon in some cases after Ishus, in sad cases of divorce or death, but when these, you know, are themselves expressions of Ishus. So these are the things that we have to look out for throughout the Masechta. So that's just a small akdama. In terms of Svarim, just to mention very quickly, in addition to, you know, you have a lot of Rishonim on Ksuvis, particularly rich in the Chachmei Svarad area. Again, there's a new Ramban out, which I didn't get a chance to look at yet, but I, thanks to Isaac, have a copy of. But, you know, this is the Ramban. The Ramban was always known. Actually, the Rajba was missing for years in Ksuvis. The printed Rajba in Ksuvis was really the Ramban, you know, for many, and the old, you know, printed Rajbas. But we have a better edition of the Ramban now, and we have, you know, a proper edition of the Rajba. The Rajba was always known and cited in the Shita B'Kubetzes. We just didn't have the work independently for a long time. There's also Ra'ah on Ksuvis, which is very, very important. Whenever there's Ra'ah, it's very important. And then you can always see the tremendous impact of the Ra'ah on the Ritva. You know, the Ritva is a Talmud of the Rajba, and he's a Talmud of the Ra'ah. But, you know, when the Ritva is distinctive and we don't have the Ra'ah, we don't fully appreciate, sometimes he's distinctive anyway, but we don't fully appreciate the impact of the Ra'ah. When you have it in Brachos and Chulin and Ksuvis, where we have the Ra'ah, you can really see the line of transmission. There's also Rabbeinu Kreskes, also from that school, on Ksuvis. There's also Tosas Shans in Ksuvis, Tosas Rosh, of course, but Tosas Shans sometimes has like earlier versions of Bali Tosas. That's worth looking at. But there's a rich variety of Chachmei Svarad on Ksuvis. I always recommend people to have Shittim Kubetzes. We'll be doing some Marmakobos from Shittim Kubetzes because a lot of anonymous material. A, it's a convenient book. B, there's a lot of anonymous material in the Shittim Kubetzes, or, you know, 15th, 16th century material that's contemporary to Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi. And sometimes there are some, you know, very interesting, you know, things there. And so it's good to have Shittim Kubetzes. Also, as I mentioned other times, when you read a Rishon, you know, when you read the Ramban through a Sugya, so you have the advantage of seeing the Ramban's whole Mitchilo v'ad sof of that particular sugya, his take on, you know, on the different phases. But, you know, sometimes when you look through the Shittim Kubetzes, you know, you lose that because it's broken up, you know, more piecemeal. But sometimes you get the juxtapositions more of how, you know, each line or each, you know, small segment is. So it's good to have a Shittim Kubetzes perspective, and it's good to have a individual Rishonim perspective. You should have access to these things. There's a Shitas Kamai. Again, I just got, again, thanks to Isaac. So, you know, that's always good for saving us time and, you know, sort of looking around and finding some of the more exotic Rishonim. And the other Masechtas, it's always been very worthwhile having, but people should at least, if you don't have it, apparently it's very expensive. People have to mortgage their, like, houses in order to buy it. But at least you should have, like, you know, access to it now and then. We'll give it out when we need
it's
to.
It's free on Hebrew books.
It's what?
It's free on Hebrew books.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting. Okay. All right. And that piece of information is free too, right? Okay. So, okay. So just in terms of the topics we're going to do, we're going to begin with Ksuva, with the Makoros that I gave. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to do that pretty quickly. But again, it's paradigmatic of other things, as we'll soon discuss. Then I want to spend just a couple of minutes after that, just to highlight that it isn't just Ksuva where we have kind of these issues, to speak about you know, another pasuk of the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim, Sheirak Susa V'Onasa Lo Yigra, which is in the Parsha of Avadim or Am Ivriya, in the beginning of right in the beginning of Mishpatim. Again, I'm not going to do this extensively because that would take us too far afield, but Kimishpata banos yasela, you know, just the psukim themselves raise the question, you know, what is the nature of Sheirak Susa V'Ona, and why does the Torah speak about it in the context of Ama Ivriya? Is it, you know, Ama Ivriya and Kal V'Chomer, you know, even Ama Ivriya, You know, and or is it, you know, Amma Ivriya? Basically, it's an Amma Ivriya kind of a halacha. So that is something I just want to touch on just in after we finish discussing, you know, briefly Ksuva. Again, we'll probably be adding to all of these things, you know, as we go through the year. But just look at the, you know, there's this very, very important exchange between Rabbi Yochanan, I think, and Rabbi Yeshaya, in Rabbi Yoshia, I think, in the Mechilta. And just look at the Rambam in, at least in Sefer HaMitzvos. One second, I'll tell you where it is. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Lav Reish Samach Beis, and the Chinuch Mem Vav. This is after we finish the discussion of Ksuva. And there's a very, there's a summary and an interesting discussion of this in the Sefer Mitzvah Sreb Sajagon, Mitzvah Ayin, Mitzvah Sase Ayin through Ayin Beis. Basically, our Yochum Fischel Perlo wants to know, you know, should this be counted as an asay? It's in the Torah, it's written as Sheirak Susav Yonasa Lo Yigra. It's written as a form of Allah, but it also says Kimishpat Habanos Yasela. Basically, there are two questions there. One is it an asay or a lav, or both, or neither? And secondly, is it, you know, basically, he doesn't say it this way, but this is basically what it comes down to, is it fundamentally a halacha, you know, kimishpat habanos yasala, and it also applies to, you know, Amma Ivriya, or is it basically a halacha and Amma Ivriya, you know, that also applies to, you know, to, you know, to regular Isha. And what's Rabbanan, what's Daraisa? We'll just talk about that very, very quickly. Then I want to move on, and I forgot my list, but I'll bring in the, hopefully, Mar Makobos tomorrow. Then I want to just do a small hakdama about the relationship between Kiddushin and Nisuin. But that is then something that we'll be building on. But I want to speak about just the beginnings of that in terms of Das. So that will just, I'll just tell you very quickly, just as, if you want to start on that already. That's Tosis on starting with Tosis on Beis Amud Aleph, a seemingly innocuous Tosis, but it's, I think, important depending on how you read it. Dibra Maskel Nises, the second Tosis, in other words. You should read the first Tosis too, obviously, but the second Tosis. And the Marshal, that's Chachma Shlomo on the back, his take on that Tosis. Same idea you can find also in the, again, anonymous Shita Mekubetzis material. I'll get to the page number. My page numbers of Shita Mekubetzis are from the old one, but basically not so hard to find. Shita Mekubetzis is reading of this Tosis as well. The question of Das in Kiddushin and Das in Nisuin. Is there any possibility of Nisuin Bal Korcha, and does that connect to the question of whether there can be Kiddushin Bal Korcha, which is a Gemara in Kiddushin. So in connection with that, the Tosis, the Marshal, the Shita Mekubetzis that I mentioned, and just to begin with, the Tosis, the discussion of the Gemara that they're referring to in Kiddushin Daf Beis Amud Beis, and the Meiri there, the idea of Kiddushin possibly being Bal Korcha, and the you know, the different formulations also of Rashi, Rashi in to start with this Rashi in Kiddushin Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Kiddushin. Rashi in Yevamos, Yud Tes Amud Beis, also the Ramasul Kiddushin, and Rashi in Parshas Chayisara, in Bereishis, Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Nun Zayin, in the story of Rivka. And I'll just, you know, you have to think about Yibum here, because Yibum is Bal Korcha, but again, we're not going to, we learned Yevamos some years ago, we discussed that at length, but we'll just touch on that. And also there's an interesting discussion of Sefer HaMitzvah Sreb Sajagon, again, a Baruch official Perlo, in Mitzvah, I'll tell you what it is, I have it written here somewhere, Mitzvah Ayin Gimel, in Sefer HaMitzvah Sreb Sajagon, page 287, where he discusses whether or not there could ever be a case of Kiddushin Bal Korcha. Okay, let's say if you had a, you know, the Lavush seems to think that there's a kind of a get where you are Megaresh your wife, but she's not Muteres L'chal Adam. She's just Asura to you. And he wants to know whether, according to the, that in itself is something to talk about, but according to that Lavush, That's called Megaresh Me'ava. Let's say he divorces her, but not because he, you know, hates her, but, you know, he wants to do her a favor, which can happen. So if that happens, and it only is a miktsas gerushin, so, well, you know, would he be able to be mekadesh her again, bal karcha? That's an interesting, like, discussion. Anyways, the point is that it's a way of highlighting a little bit the relationship between possibly kiddushin and nisuin, and we'll add a few other things, a little bit of edikiyum in kiddushin and nisuin, ketana. So that'll be the, you know, kind of the ishus part of the hakdama as well, and then probably from then we'll just, you know, start going straight. Okay, so that's the plan. So now that we discussed the plan, if we could, I mentioned we should send a sheet around, or we did that already. Did we do it already? Okay, is it already? Yeah. Okay, so we're going to send a sheet around. I'm sorry, this is like the, what do they call it? Housekeeping? They call it housekeeping? It is called housekeeping. Tomorrow's being non-committal. Maybe? Okay, anyway, I don't know. Whatever it is. Administrative? So, definitely not bureaucratic. If everybody could just put their name down so we have a list of everybody. And everybody who's going to be here. Right? And where you've been the last couple of years. Okay? Which yeshiva, which shir.
2 years.
What?
2 years.
2 years. I think we always do 2 years, right? Got the minhag?
2 years.
2 years. Okay, so we have a little bit of a, like a dossier, you know, on everybody. Okay? And it also helps to learn the names, and we get to call the people, you know, when we remember. Oh, we're not too late. Okay, so that is the that's the plan. Okay, so let's begin with a discussion of the ksuba. I say it's Masechet Ksuba, so it's a good place, you know, hopefully to begin, right? You all say good place to begin. You said the best.
No, good.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay, just checking. So yeah. So the first thing, of course, to think about is. You know, what role the ksuba plays. So let's just highlight, you know, kind of the issue, you know, by, you know, starting with the Rambam for a minute. Which Rambam? Jonathan? Ah, right, we should, might as well start if we could, like if we, you know, ideally we wanted to start somewhere, we'd say, oh, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could start with the Kotaret, right, to Hilchos Ishus. So if you look at the Kotaret to Hilchos Ishus, you have it there? So these are the four mitzvos that characterize Hilchos Ishus, right? So, you know, we're not going to speak about four and three at the moment. For lirbos velirvos mimena is very, very important. That's one of the, I mentioned before that there are different stages or phases, and the Obama's people will recall we did this, you know, in some length, right? There's the, a little bit the shiduchim, you know, when people agree to get married. That's mostly not a legal status, but it can be a financial one, and there might be a little bit of shasimcha bimono. In theory, there could be, at least. The Gemara, you know, discusses it, and Mordechai has some deos about it, but mostly there's no legal change, let's say, in anybody's status at the time of Shiduchin, right? But then comes Erisin, and then comes Nisuin, and within Nisuin, as I say, there are different phases, and then there's Bia Rishona, and then there's, you know, Piri of Arivia, and then there's, you know, Shloshim Yom and Shana Rishona, etc. So Piri of Arivia, the question of Piri of Arivia, and we'll discuss this when we talk about Mitzvah's Kiddushin, is, you know, whether or not that's a completely independent and more pragmatic-oriented mitzvah, but populating the world, does that have anything to do with the institution of marriage? Aside from the fact that there are prohibitions to have, intergender relationships outside of marriage. So from that point of view, you know, pursuing the mitzvah period of Arivia without outside of Ishus, you know, could be problematic. But that doesn't have to be a period of Arivia problem. That could just be Lemaisa, the only way to... or is it that Piri of Arivia is an aspect, you know, a kiyum in Ishus, which is the way it sounds for the Rambam, Lifros for Lirvos Mimena, and there are other rayas as well. The Shulta says this, etc. So we're not going to discuss that right now, but we want to keep our eye on that as a phase. Shelo yimana sheretzus viona, I referred to a couple of minutes ago, right? Sherak susal viona sa lo yigra. Stamalav, you know, what's the significance of the context of it? And again, is that just pure financial, or is that ishus oriented? That's a question to ask. You know, are they all Doraisa, Sher, Ksus, Viona? I mean, the Torah speaks about all three, so it seems that they are. Lemaisa, in terms of what we define Sher, Ksus, Viona, are they all Doraisa? For, you know, person's Makadei, Shalmanas, She'en Lachalai, Sher, Ksus, Viona, right? That's a big debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in the Sugen Perek Afalpi, whether that constitutes, you know, Masna, Masha, Kosa, B'Torah or not, or whether it's in the category of Tanai, Davar, Sheb, and Mamon. That's an interesting, you know, issue of Shiar Ksus Viona. We'll revisit that. Ona, you know, would seem to be, you know, very different than Shiar and Ksus. Right? Shiar and Ksus are financial. Ona is about the physical relationship of husband and wife. So should we learn by the, you know, the association, you know, of the one with the other two, that ona is just, you know, kind of a right and it's a hana, a sagavra, and so on. You know, in other words, take away some of its davar shebekdusha aspect, at least with regard to this, or should we assume the opposite, that even Sher and Ksus, you know, are like Ona, meaning that they too have to do with the Ishus, the Kiyum and Ishus, and the relationship of husband and wife. So these are things we have to look at. If you talk about, you know, davar shebemamon, right, in terms of Tanai, right, so that's obviously very... That very association is important. Like, would you call Ona automatically Davar Sheba Mamon? That's a big debate among the Rishonim, you know, whether Ona really is included in that. On the other hand, would you think that maybe somebody could argue that none of these are Davar Sheba Mamon? Now, this is in addition to the question whether you can be Masna, Masha, Kasim, Batara, Batanai, Davar Sheba Mamon, maybe the Hagdara of being Davar Sheba Mamon is problematic, you know, not only with regard to Ona, but with regard to sharing Ksus too. Right? Yeah, that's food for thought. I'm just thinking aloud since we were reading the Koteret. So we need to look at Lifros v'Livros Mimena at some point, and we need to look at Shelo Yimana Sher Ksus V'Ona. But before we get to that, and since our topic of the day is Ksuba, so the first two formulations of the Rambam are the ones that are really catching our eye. Right? Since we're going, being Korah L'Mafreya, we're going backwards. Shelo Tival Isha B'lo Ksuva V'Kidushin. So we'll have to see what that means, but basically the insertion of ksuba, you know, in that is already pretty strange. This is the Rambam's Isur Kadesha, essentially, which we'll talk about, and the Rambam's, you know, particular take on Isur Kadesha. So once you've said Shalotival Isha Blo Kiddushin, right, what does the ksuba part, you know, have to do with anything? Do you violate Kadesha if there's Kedushin, if there's no Ksuva? Right? What do we mean by that? And obviously, the first one, getting back to the, you know, now going back to the right order, is particularly the first thing we read about the Rambam, the first thing in the mitzvah of Sefer, of Hilchos Ishus, is problematic. It's Lisa, Isha, B'Ksuva, B'Kedushin. And that is a very loaded formulation. Number one, we'll talk about this. Why Lisa? Lisa has the connotation of Yaakov. Nisuin. So you would have expected.
Say the thing they accomplished
instead. What would you have expected instead of Lisa? Lekadesh.
Right.
And if you look at the Rambam again, we'll talk about this. You know, the Rambam Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis discusses this, and then Halacha Beis Vili Kuchen Elu, you know, Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah Hein, and explains what he means by that, which is Kiddushin. So why does Rambam in the Koteret start with Nisuin, and then he mentions Kiddushin afterwards? Right? It's Lisa Isha B'Ksuva V'Kiddushin. A, the order is Kiddushin before Nisuin. B, it would seem that the Rambam holds that the Mitzvah is Kiddushin, maybe not Nisuin, and yet the Rambam, first thing that he mentions is Lisa. I think there are good answers to these questions, and Mefarshim speak about it. Some say one thing, I think something a little different, but we'll get to all of this. The insertion, not only the, you know, the peculiar order of the Nisuin and the Kedushin and the inclusion of Nisuin as part of the mitzvah, but the insertion of Ksuba is maybe the most striking thing of all. Just what's it doing there? And there are two problems. Number one, right, the mitzvah is Lisa, Isha b'Ksuba. Even if you were to assume, in other words, that Ksuba was a Daraisa institution, that it should be included in the formulation of the mitzvah in that way is strange. Right? In the same exact way that mitzvah beis, shelo tivah Isha b'lo Ksuba b'Kedushin is strange, meaning you wouldn't think it would be part of the mitzvah, and you wouldn't think that it would be part of the Isser, even if Ksuba would be a bona fide, authentic Doraisa obligation. What's even more problematic, seemingly, is that it's not so clear that the institution of Ksuba is even Doraisa, which is, you know, our topic. That's why this is a good introduction to our topic. We'll soon see that there's a debate already among the Tanoim, right, whether or not Ksuba is Doraisa or Drabanan. If Ksuva is Rabbanan, it's hard to understand what it's doing in the mitzvos. The Rambam's counting mitzvos d'oraisa here. And, not only, what role it plays, which would be a question even if it was d'oraisa, but what's it doing here at all. That's a debate among the Tanoim, this is a debate among the Ma'amorim, this is a debate among the Rishonim. Well, that part of it, at least, is only going to be a problem if we assume that the Rambam holds what? Chaim, a new member of this. And what? Can't hear you. Well, it's only be the other way. It's only going to be a problem if you hold that Ksuva's Darabana, right? If Ksuva's Daraisa, so we still don't understand exactly what it's doing here. Because a lot of things could be Daraisa, but doesn't mean you would integrate them into the fundamental mitzvah and avera of getting married, right? But if you hold that Ksuva is Drabanan, then it's very problematic. And, since I'm assuming people mostly went to the Mar Makomos, or at least are well into it, how does the Rambam see the Paskin? Ksuva Daraisa or Ksuva Drabanan?
Since Darabanan, one of the strongest formulations he had, at least personally, extremely strong formulation is Darabanan.
Yeah, he says many, many times. Which one are you quoting?
He says many times. He says it as if he's trying to undo your hidden assumption that it's Daraisa.
Yeah, he's quoting Gemaras, but yeah. Right. Which one are you quoting? Perik Yud?
Yeah.
So we'll get back to it. We'll do the whole survey. The Rambam says pretty unequivocally, 5, 6, 7 places in Hilchos Ishos, that Tiktu Chachamim Ksuva Shelo Teikala, Be'enav Lahotzia. He says it quite a number of places. We'll soon investigate it's a question of formulation. It's also a question of substance, right? Meaning, the Tanaim and Amoraim already debate this, and the Gemara establishes that there are certain nafkamina. So we'll also have to see how the Rambam paskins regarding those nafkamina. But the truth is that, this is, the major point that we want to make, that what's going to emerge, and this is just highlighted by the Koteret, is that the issue is more complicated than you think. You would have thought that if Ksuva's Daraisa, then, at least maybe it could be included in the formulation of the mitzvah Daraisa, but certainly if Ksuva's Drabanan, it cannot. The Rambam seems to be unequivocal that it is Drabanan, at least in the issues that the Gemara speaks about. And yet, not only here, we'll see that also in Sefer Mitzvos and also in Nechus Malachim, the Rambam in a number of places, really seems to treat the Ksuva as if it's an incredibly pivotal part of the Isha. So that's what I want to try to explain. But before we do that, let's take a step back away from the Rambam for the moment and just, go back to the original Makoros. If we want to know whether Ksuva is Daraisa or Darabanan, what's the first thing, Eli, that we should be looking at? Well, before we look, that's a good, I'm proud of you for saying that. What did you say? What?
Psukim.
Yeah, the psukim. So, you know, it's good. You know, we need people to be saying, you know, what you said. So I applaud you. But you know, once you've said it, then you can say, you know, what you did. The psukim. Probably planned it that way. So we should go back to the, you know, to see if there are psukim. Does ksuba appear in the Torah itself? So does Eli, does ksuba appear in the Torah itself? So there are some candidates, basically, and there are some candidates for it, and there's some, you know, parshanut question. So there are some psukim that some farshim think refer to ksuva in the Torah, and the question is, you know, yes or no. So what are the psukim? Which one? Mohar. Which appears where, by the way? By the way, do we have somebody... What?
I always saw the
passing
Gemara.
Oh, okay. Well, this is, you know, it's so good to be back. So, where are those psukim? Do we have somebody who's doing the?
Corey.
Ah, Tovia, you're doing it. Wow. Okay. So, oh, it's there.
No, Tovia's not doing the computer. He's the official Balkari of this year.
Oh, he's the Balkore. And he's the only Balkore? We went from having like six or seven to... What? What? You're not a Balkore? Just Elliot.
Oh, Shua.
Shua. Okay. But who's doing the compute? Who's doing the... Oh, yeah, Kier's doing it. Oh, okay. There's, okay. So, we know we're in good... basically there are three psukim in the Maror Makomos, right? I gave you three possible references, right? So where do you want to begin? Well, he mentioned Mohar, right? So, but there are three, basically. What do we got? Yeah, we can. You want to start Bereishis? You want to go chronologically? We could do the break. We'll do that. Okay, so good. What do we have in Bereishis? We have two references in Bereishis.
By Sarah.
What are the contexts?
In terms of
the Pilagshim.
Yeah.
Right. So that, let's start with that one. That's a good one.
Okay.
Right? We have a... I think I have the... Yeah. Okay. What is it? Chafei ulibnei pilagshim. You have it there. Go ahead, Yakir. Go ahead. And we'll thank Yakir in advance also for us. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So ulibnei pilagshim asher laAvraham. You know, the question is, you know, it jumps out at you. You know, what does this mean? Right. Avraham Avinu had a wife. Right. Possibly more than one. And depending on Chazal, right? And he also had pilagshim, concubines, right? What does that mean? You know, what's that hagdara? What's that definition? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? You have the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph says my nashim, my pilagshim. The Gemara actually, you know, jumps in to explain what that means. Omar Rav Yudah Marav nashim b'ksuva b'kiddushin, right? We have that. By the way. Pilagshim below ksuva below kiddushin. That's the girsa that we have in ksuvas chafalef omenav. Okay. We'll get back to that in just a second. What does Rashi say in his parashat la Torah? Yakir?
Rashi just quotes the ksuva part
of the Torah. Yeah. Rashi says, one second, noshim b'ksuva, pilagshim below ksuva. Right? And he's basically quoting this Gemara. So the question is, he drops basically the Kiddushin component. Yeah?
It's also dropped in the Yerushalmi version.
Yeah?
Yeah. Ketuva, Te'ekehelacha, Bet. We have, what is it? It's a Machlo de Kanaim, but one of the formulas is Ezehu Isha, Ezehu Pilagesh. We may omer Isha Yeshla Ketuva, Pilagesh in La Ketuva.
And is there, and Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay.
And they turn that into Tanaik
ketubah.
Right, the whole machlokim is Tanaik.
Implies that she has a ketubah. The
but they're, are they assuming that Yesh la kedushin? Or you can't tell there?
I don't know.
Right.
I tried
okay.
to prove you could.
Okay. Maybe. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Either way, Rashi definitely doesn't think he's quoting the Yerushalmi, which is interesting. Either way, the Ramban, as we know, calls him out on it. Right? The Ramban basically says, quotes Rashi and says, Ena davar kein. Right? Kilo tikra pilegesh ela kashihi below kidushin kiaksuva hi midivre sofrim girsa basanhedrin pilegesh below ksuva vikidushin. Right? So number one, he basically points out that he's, you know, that, you know, there are basically three levels here, right? He's pointing out that Rashi is an extreme. Oh, there's a Victor. Rashi's an extreme, right? Because Rashi is dropping the Kiddushin. He himself thinks that even the Gemara in Sanhedrin, this is fascinating, is only Aliba de Mandamar that Ksuva is Daraisa. He doesn't say explicitly, but it is implicit, right? If you hold Ksuva Daraisa, then you can read the Gemara in Sanhedrin. He's saying Rashi even went further than the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And even the Gemara in Sanhedrin is not Aliba de Hilchasa, because, says the Ramban, we hold that Ksuva is only Drabanan. Right? The question is, how to explain Rashi? And does Rashi really think that there is no, that there is Kiddushin? And the difference, you know, if you have Kiddushin B'li Ksuva, that's called a Pilegesh? That's what I'm saying, I'm not sure, but is it, it would be, maybe, I have to look at the Yerushalmi again, but I'm pretty sure that's not clear there either, right? Yeah.
You could say that Rashi's just talking about before Matan Torah.
Rashi's quoting the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't sound like it's talking about before Matan Torah. The Gemara is, you know, discussing in general. And, you know, you could always, listen, the Ramban himself in the continuation says, you know, just to apropos of what you're saying, Aval, Efshar Shagam B'nei Noach Kasher Yisu Lahem Nashim Kimishpatan Bibi'ilo Hayu Noagim Lichtav Lahem Moar Umatan. Right, v'asher ritzona shetehi lahem pilegesh v'yishaleach osa, right, kasher yirtze v'lo yu b'neha b'nochalim eshalo loya kosev lo klum. So that's kind of the Ramban saying something similar to what you're saying. In other words, he's saying maybe this is, you know, what B'nai Noach used, it's the practice of B'nai Noach. We'll see in a minute that the Mishnah Lamelech says something similar about the some of the psukim in Shemos. So it's possible. But definitely it's not the way the Ramban is taking Rashi, and it's not usually the way that we take Rashi, and it's not the way the Gemara doesn't sound like it's only about that. Either way, it's they're comparing to David HaMelech, right? So it can't only be prior to Matan Torah. But anyways, the Gemara. But the question then is as follows. Even if you hold that, you know, that... there's several questions. If Rashi is saying, we'll just go back to this. If Rashi is saying that there is kiddushin, but there's no ksuva, that's very remarkable. In other words, you can have pilegish with kiddushin just without ksuva. That's a remarkable shita. The other possibility is that, you know, Rashi doesn't have a different girsa in the Gemara necessarily, and this may be true in the Yerushalmi as well. But that the idea is, of course, there's no kiddushin here, but in highlighting what is an isha, what is a pilegesh, right, we're choosing to highlight, there's an absence of, like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, like the Bavli says, there's an absence of kiddushin and an absence of ksuva. But we're choosing to highlight the lack of ksuva to accentuate that. Now the question, of course, is why? I mean, doesn't it seem far more basic that there's no kiddushin, you know, than that there's no Ksuva, Nadzi Ikar, is Chaser Minas Sefer. So we would have to assume that there's something symbolic. Now, the truth is that either according to either of these Pshatim are different in substance in terms of what they hold. Like, does Rashi really hold that you could be a Pilegus with Kiddushin if you don't have Ksuva? Right, that's the first Pshat problem. The second Pshat problem is, okay, fine, we're not going that radical, but what we are saying is without Kiddushin, you know, which also means without Ksuva, that without ksuva is what kind of what highlights the problem. But then, of course, the obvious question is, but, you know, if the ikar, you know, is lacking, so why do you emphasize the tafel? The only time methodologically you would ever do that would to make would be to make a conceptual point. Namely, it's true that there's a, you know, something even more basic lacking in the Kiddushin, but the lack of ksuva, right, you know, which is part of that, is really what captures the idea. And I'll explain what I mean, obviously, in just a couple of minutes. Yeah.
He says Mishnah in Hilchos Melachim Dal and Dalid.
Yeah.
Quotes Rashi. He says Alfi Sharashi Kasam Beferish Al Torah Al Pasuk Lein Avilachim Shleyashi BeKiddushin Velo Ksuva. So he sounds like he has a Yerusha Rashi. It says yes, Kiddushin, no Ksuva.
In the case of Mishnah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we should also note, by the way, since we're here, and we'll get back to it, that since you quoted it, that the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet, right, quotes this Gemara. And so I read it one more time, the Rambam part.
The Rambam says, Dalet v'chein l'kev m'kol g'vol Yisrael nashim b'ksuva v'kidushin, v'pilakshim b'lo ksuva v'lo kidushin, el b'yichud b'lva'a k'on ha'asel m'tarsel.
Yeah. So again, this is, you know, obviously normative halacha. And the Rambam is pasukening it. So here the question arises, again, if you hold, let's go back to what we were saying a second ago. Right, we had two pshatim in Rashi. Now, if you hold that ksuva is daraisa, so let's talk about the regular girsa of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Right? You know, the way the Ramban has the girsa, the way we have the girsa. The Ramban, you know, seems to be okay with that. Like if ksuva is daraisa, so saying that pilegesh below kiddushin below ksuva, right, is not so bad. The truth is, I would have a problem with that. Right? Now, if you assume that ksuva is just a financial arrangement and it's something which is peripheral, you know, to the ishus, I would say even if ksuva is daraisa, the way you characterize pilegesh, right, is in lack of kiddushin plus lack of, what does the plus add for you? Now, it's a bigger question for Rashi, you know, according to both pshatim, because then the role of ksuva is everything is hanging on the ksuva, right? Because you have kiddushin, one chiddush, or not having kiddushin, you still want to emphasize somehow the lack of ksuva. But even if you hold that ksuva is daraisa, if you hold that the ksuva is, you know, belongs basically to the dine mominus of ishus and nothing more, you know, the question is still true. It might be accurate, but it's irrelevant. Right? In other words, when you want to characterize the difference between Ishus and Pilagesh, you have to quote every little detail. You know, you've captured it, you know, by saying there's no Kiddushin here. What have you added when you've said that there's no Ksuva? Okay. Of course, for the Rambam, again, the problem is greater, because if it's true, and we'll document more, but we already documented a little bit, that the Rambam holds that ksuva is drabanan, so then the Rambam's quoting of the Gemara in Sanhedrin is exactly the problem that the Ramban raises against Rashi. Namely, if you hold ksuva, for Rashi, you could say, well, who told the Ramban that Rashi holds that ksuva is drabanan? Right? It's a machlokas tanoim, it's a machlokas amaroim. You know, it's not clear how we paskin, so it's not so clear. We'll see soon the views of Balei Tosas, right? So is it conceivable for anybody to hold ksuva daraisa lahalacha? Sure. Right. But for the Rambam, in a way, the Rambam doesn't only mention ksuva. In that sense, it's not as bad as Rashi, or not as difficult as Rashi. But since the Rambam holds that, seemingly, that ksuva is drabanan, so his quoting in Hilchos Melachim, this Gemara, which would seemingly only make sense, and even then is problematic if you hold ksuva daraisa, is a problem to be added to the koteret, right? Where, you know, you have a parallel problem. Okay. We have the parallel, problem in the Rambam as well. We could just mention it now with regard to, not to Pelegesh, but Kadesha. I'm sorry, Eli had a question?
Shouldn't just, like, on a personal level, couldn't the Ramban's problem be that Rashi is implying that there's a distinction that exists within Hagar and in Yisha? For example, for the Ramban, who's talking, saying after, obviously, the Ramban institution would be fine. So the Ramban's bothered that before the Ramban made it the Kana, Rashi is introducing Suba into
No, but you're dealing with the Daraisa definition. So why would a drabanan factor you know, even after it's instituted. I mean, you're not drawing up a presumably an exhaustive list of all differences.
Maybe he is.
Let's put it this way. This is my question on the Rambam Perek Dalet. You know, Hilchos Melacha, Melacha Dalet. I don't even recall anybody else asking this question. But I just think it doesn't. You know, it's strange. I mean, the Rambam is not saying, you know, here the following is a list of all the differences between Pilegesh and Isha. Right, it's Hilchos Melachim. He's trying to define what a Pilegesh is. Ram has a very, I think it's connected to his very, very limited view of Heter Pilegesh also. I don't know, has an expanded Isra of Pilegesh, which we'll talk about very briefly. But, you know, clearly, you know, he's referring to the Gemara, which goes back to the Psukim, and which is a Hagdara. And you just don't understand exactly why he would bother, you know, with the Drabanan when you're talking about a Daraisa. Definitional difference.
Wouldn't it be very severe to say that the Rambam is just giving us the dinim, not just giving us Hagdara?
Would it be severe to say that? Would it be strange to say that? If he said, you know, the following are the, if it was like, you know, the equivalent of the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, which says, you know, ma bein, you know, dinim amenas l'dinim nefashas, or even if it was, you know, the ma beins, you know, of Megillah. You know, so which you could interpret as an exhaustive list, then I don't think it would be strange. But that isn't what this is. This isn't Ma Bain as a list. It's you know, trying to understand the pasuk and the institution of what it is. I just think it's strange. Again, cumulatively, that's what I think. Cumulatively, in other words, in light of, you know, the Rambam's view in the Koteret and the Rambam's view in Sefer HaMitzvos, which we're going to mention in just a second, you know, and we'll see in a second his view in Hilchos Na'ar Basula. In light of these other things, I think Kol Shekein, you know, that this is significant. But I would have said it alone, just in I would have been bothered by Hilchos Melacha Melacha, frankly. Okay, so you know, before we'll get to the Rambam and Ramban parallel and Pilegs just in a second. Let's just finish up, I guess, the Rashi's and the Rambans first. So that's one. So you have, as I say, a Rashi, which is extreme in one way. There are two ways to interpret it. Both of them are problematic in different ways. Even if you quote the Gemara in Sanhedrin, according to the Mandamar Ksuva Daraisa, in my opinion, there's something to raise here, at least, to notice here. According to the Rambam, who seems to hold Ksuva Darabanan, I think it's even much more problematic. Either way, the Ramban is basically saying, if you hold Ksuva Darabanan, you shouldn't be quoting this Gemara. And that certainly is the case. At least not in the Psukim. Right. You know, whether he would be upset with the Rambam or not, that's what you're raising. I'm guessing that he would, but it doesn't really matter so much in the bigger picture. Now, that's one. That's the Pilagshim. What else do we have in Brachos? We back to Yakir, right? What else do we have in Brachos?
The story of Shechem.
So what happened in the story of Shechem? We don't need the whole story right now, but the relevant part. It's part of the salesman job, I guess, you know, that he was trying to do, right? So he said, you know, what did he say? What? Yeah. Right, so harbo alai ma'od mohar mata. So the question is, what is mohar? It's a strange word, right? And it does appear in the Torah elsewhere. Where? In Mishpatim, in the context of Ones and Mefata. Ones kimboar habesulos, that's in the context of Ones. And Mefata, what's the pasuk there? Mohar yimarena lo leisha. That's in the context of Mefata. So, again, it's a strange word that none of us, you know, can trippingly off our tongue translate. You know, mohar, what is that? Right, and obviously Chazal had a tough time with it as well. It's not like, you know, one of the easy words in Torah Shabbat Sav. So obviously cross-referencing where else it appears becomes very important, right? Anyways, what does Rashi say Mohar means? Ksuba. Rashi says Ksuba. And what does Ramban say that it means?
Sablonis.
Except that here, you know, he first quotes Rashi without quoting Rashi, He quotes what Rashi says, and he doesn't argue too strenuously. He just kind of wants to gloss over it or transform it into savlanus. What is savlanus, by the way?
The gifts that he gives to the kala
before the wedding, right? So it's almost like he's saying, we mean Shechem was doing the selling job, so he wasn't being so specific. So, we'll have a big ksuva, we'll give you savlanus, whatever. So clearly the Ramban, by adding the savlanus part, even though he's quoting the Rashi about the ksuva, is trying to transition into it and away from ksuva. It could be that, again, just as the Ramban in Pilagshim was aware that there's a way to interpret, the psukim, again, along lines of what you said before, and more, I guess, historically, right? This is what Bnei Noach maybe do or did. So the Shechem is less of it's not a normative, source necessarily. You could say, this is what Shechem was, this is what he was doing, what he was talking about. That's different than when the Gemara in Sanhedrin, with impact on post-Matan Torah in terms of David HaMelech, both a Hagdara and also a Hagdara, which is going to apply later. So the Ramban is a little bit different than the other play. He doesn't say, Tema, how could Rashi say that? Instead, he kind of tries to transition it over. So it's Lishitaso, but without the Harifus, let's say, because it's an awareness which he himself was sensitive to, even in the more normative context of Avram Avinu A, right, and with the Gemara is quoting that, as if it is normative. Okay, that's the second one. Okay, what's the third one? Yosef? The third one is the one in Mishpatim, right? So there's Mo'ar Besulaichi regarding Ones that the Gemara associates with Ksuva. Which Gemara? Tovia? Okay, we're going to read these Gemaras inside in a minute. Oh, Jason? Jason's here. Which Gemara? Shua? Yeah, Yud Amid Aleph. The Gemara says what? We'll read the whole Gemara just in a couple of minutes.
It says,
Kamar HaBesulos. Right, Yishkol Kamar HaBesulos. Mikan, Samchu Chachamim, or something like that? Yeah. So the Gemara in Ksuvas associates Mohar with Ksuva, but we just don't know exactly. It's number one. It says Mikan Samchu, right? And we don't know exactly what that means. Does that mean an asmakta? Does it mean it's real? So we'll look at that in the Gemara in Ksuvas Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Also, we're just not sure, is it the primary meaning of the Pasuk, or is it like an additional meaning of the Pasuk? Right? Because the context is not one of Ksuva, it's one of Knas Ones. So are we saying Knas Ones is patterned after the ultimate Mohar, which is Ksuva, or is this just kind of some remez, that it's the same, the same amount? Is it a coincidence? Not 100% clear. A much more I wouldn't say problematic or important, I guess, makar, because it's less ambiguous, presumably, is the way Rashi reads the pasuk about mefata, which is, again, what's the pasuk? You have the pasuk there? Yeah, mor yomer l'alisha. How does the pasuk go? Excellent. And then imma'en yomayin avila sisalo kasef yishkol kimoar Abasulas, right? So what is Mohar? Again, it's just reading the Psukim, right? We have Bali Kriya here, but they don't do the Miturgamaning in the thing, but if they had to. So Mohar Yimarena Lalisha is really a challenging phrase to translate, right? Mohar Yimarena Lalisha. Okay, we don't have it. It's a verb. Kimohar Abasulas, you have a couple of times. Right? Or Mohar Umatan, but Mohar, right? Mohar her, basically, right? So, which is a good you know, makar for, you know, people who try to make verbs out of nouns, which I must admit that I sometimes do. You know, it's always been based on Mari Marina. So, what does Rashi say, Mari Marina? And more than that? What's the language? So imagine that the Torah says, what's the context? He's mefateh. So he should marry her, right? He entices her, he, you know, seduces her, whatever the proper terminology is, right? In other words, he takes advantage of her, and he is obligated to offer to marry her. So that's what the pasuk is, according to Rashi, that's what the pasuk is saying. So if you had to, if I told you this is what we need to convey in these psukim, right? That he did this terrible thing, he took advantage of her vulnerability, you know, based on age and so on, and he now he's supposed to offer to marry her. So, you know, I said to you, Yosef, right? How would you, you know, in biblical Hebrew, how would you say offer to marry her? So you would say, you know, give her a ksuba? He did this to her, therefore he has to, you know, he has to, you'd say no. Hire a rabbi, hire a hall, or you just say marry her, right? You wouldn't say ksuvaize her, right? That's what Rashi says. Mar yimarenu l'isha. Now this isn't the Ramban's question. That's my question. You take a noun, you make it into a verb, that's already something. But, you know, this is the verb that signifies get married? We know how to say get married in the Torah. It's not like there aren't words, right? In Hebrew and in the Torah there are words. It's not give her a ksuva. But Rashi says, Mari Marelli should give her a ksuva in the context of marriage. Very strange. That's not the Ramban's question. What is the Ramban's question? What's the Ramban's question, Shua? Exactly the same Ramban, right? The Ramban very, very, always very, very consistent. So the Ramban here says you have the language?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, the same interpretation, right, that he offered, even though he didn't, you know, call Rashi out on the carpet, as it were, so much in the Shechem story, right, because I say, maybe, because, you know, in light of the other side, what I said before. Right, but the same, basically, Moar really means what? Savlanus, exactly. So, but it certainly can't mean ksuva, because ksuva, says the Rabban, is Rabban. Okay, so Rashi, Lashitaso, maybe holds that ksuva is Daraisa. But I say, if you ask me, even if you were to hold, according to Rashi, that ksuva is Daraisa, both Rashis remain, you know, problematic. Because one, again, is a Hagdara, you know, where either having Kedushin should make the lack of ksuva inadequate or insufficient to generate Pilagesh, or if we're assuming there's no Kiddushin and there's no Ksuva, as I said, should just make it beside the point. Again, we're not going to be necessarily learning it, but Kamalei B'drava Minei, in other words, there's no Kiddushin, so you're also going to mention there's no Ksuva. It's ridiculous. You know, there's no Kiddushin, that's like so much more fundamental. Kamalei B'drava Minei. Right? We mentioned it. It's eclipse, especially the eclipsing theory of Kamalei B'drava Minei, right? Right? Which we did last year extensively in the first parak of Shabbos. The same idea here. Mari Marna Lisha, even if you hold Ksuva Daraisa, that's the way to say marry her? So obviously there's something more, and obviously what I'm hinting at is that the Ksuva, certainly if you hold Ksuva Daraisa, but maybe even if you hold Ksuva Drabanan, which we'll explain in a minute, you know, stands for something. It reflects a certain perspective on Ishus you know, which, you know, really captures, you know, and crystallizes what we're talking about. I'll explain in just a second. Yeah.
Makes sense to emphasize the financial aspect because that's where she's vulnerable.
Right. But I'm just saying, so that, and then mention that. But it sounds like Rashi's. Remember that this is where the Torah says marry her.
Right. But maybe the reason is it's emphasizing it here because that's.
Right. That, and what I'm saying is there are other ways to say, you could say the verb marry her, you know, and pay her and compensate her. Or marry her and don't penalize her. It could be it's just a shorter version. I'm just saying it's strange, though. To take mohar and to turn it into a verb and for it to be the only way to say marry her, you know, is at least noteworthy. And again, cumulatively, certainly so. I would even have said, and that makes it methodologically more powerful, if I'm right, even not cumulatively. Okay. Now, the Ramban's discussion, as I say, just to complete, you know, for a moment at least, you know, the Ramban part of the picture. So the parallel of his critique of Rashi in all, basically in all three places, but two of them, you know, very vociferously. The third one, a little bit more subtly. You know, that same parallel we find in Sefer HaMitzvos. Okay, so what is the context in Sefer HaMitzvos? What's the concept? Context? Yeah, Shua. Kadesha. So the Rambam says what about Kadesha?
Rambam says that Kadesha is basically any deal that acts with Kiddusha.
Without Ksuva v'Kiddusha. That's what he says in Sefer HaMitzvos. Now again, you should just know, I mean, we're not going to discuss this right now, although in my opinion all of it is totally, totally interconnected. The Rambam has the most you know, limiting, the most restrictive, let's say, view on the issues of Kadesha, Pilegesh, you know, and so on. The Rambam's, it's a question of how you read it, of course, but certainly the way I read the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, Parak Aleph, Halacha Dalet, there's a big discussion in the Nosei Kelim, where the Rambam says, Kodem Matan Tori, Adam Pogei Isha B'Shuk, here's the key line. Lefikach. When Rab says lefikach, we always pay attention, right? So again, I don't want to discuss this right now so much because we don't want to go too far afield. It's a topic in its own right. But there's a huge debate among the early and then later Mefarshim on how to read this Rambam. Okay, there are two ways you can read it, and it has to be coordinated with the Rambam's remarks in Hilchos Nar Basula, in Sefer HaMitzvos, here, Shin Nun Hei, and with the Rambam's view in Hilchos Malachim. The Rambam has the most draconian view. I shouldn't say draconian because it sounds like... The Rambam has the most idealistic view of marriage and therefore the most draconian view of Pilegesh. Right? The Rambam's view is that Pilegesh is a heter only for a melech. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim. And, you know, the Rambam thinks that, you know, Pilegesh counts as the wives of a melech. It's a kiyum and ishus only for a melech, because only for a melech is there a real... Anybody have language of the Rambam? And who's reading the Rambam before in Perek Dalet Hilchos? Yonatan, right? So that's probably Halacha A or something.
Yeah, next line.
Actually, read the whole thing. Start from the beginning.
Okay.
With Halacha Dalet.
This
is the Melech. Now we'll notice that he says Biyichud Bilvad Kona, what is it?
Biyichud Bilvad Kona Osel Mutarislo.
Kona Osel Mutarislo. Meaning, the question is when a Melech has a heter, or in general, in Pilegesh, Pele Pilegesh is a kind of a hezder you know, it's an arrangement, but it's not really a kind of a quasi-marriage. It's a heter kind of bia, a heter znus, right? Or, no, it's a quasi-ishus. That's a big issue, right? The Rambam, who basically prohibits pilegesh from a hedyot, as we'll soon see in a moment, thinks that in melech, and only in melech, and that's the reason why it's prohibited for a, this is my view, and not only my view, for a hedyot, is because aside from melech, you can't have quasi-ishus, b'derech pilegesh. But when you do have the possibility of turning this into quasi-ishus, right, nadznus, you know, real kinyan, you know, esque kind of relationship, right, then, and only then, could pilegesh be mutz. That's why when the Rambam describes pilegesh b'melech, he describes it as a kind of a yichud and kinyan, and saying only because, again, interestingly, Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a very famous tshuva about pilegesh, where he says part of this, although the thrust of the tshuva is in a very different direction, but he notes this point as well. Only in melech can you really have a non-casual relationship through pilegesh, because the fact that she was the king's concubine, you know, is a certain stature, and it imposes, you know, certain conduct, you know, upon her as well. And that's why the Rambam, unlike the Ravid, holds that the yudches nashim that are allowed to a melech, right, include pilegesh. Yeah, keep going. And then he says,
Aval hedyot also be pilegesh, ela ba'amar v'yabal v'arach v'yeyud.
So the Yehud, again, we're not learning Kiddushin, so I don't know if I'll have too much chance to do this in enough time, except a little bit for sharing Sus. A Yehud and Amma Ivriya, right, is what the Rambam compares Pilegesh to. The Rav used to say that comparison implies that the Rambam holds that both Yehud and Pilegesh is Chalos Ishus B'li Maisa Kiddusha. But I think is certainly true. I would just take it a step further. The implication of it is, again, in the context of Amma, just like in the context of Melech, this is what I would add, you can have a quasi-ishus relationship, you know, without the full kinyanim, just because of the nature of that framework and institution. That's what the Rambam also means by that comparison. Go ahead. Where does he mention the number that's included? That's not in Perek Dalet, right? That's in Perek Hey. When the Rambam counts the Pilagshim, also in Nechus Malachim, so he mentions that it includes Pilegesh and Isha, and the Ravid disagrees. Okay. Anyways, getting back to Isha's Perek Aleph just for a second, and coordinating with Nar Basula and Sefer Mitzvah, but not for now. I'll just tell you the short version. The question is how to read this line in the Rambam. The Rambam says, "The fikach kol ha'bol ishal l'shem znus below kiddushin lokim la'Torah b'pnei shabal kadesha." Right? There are two ways to read it. Two opposite ways to read the line. One is if you emphasize the resha, right? Kol ha'bol ishal l'shem znus. Right? In order to be loke for znus, to be kadesha, you have to be loke l'shem znus. Right, that's why the Ravid, you know, jumps in, and the Ravid says, "Ein iser lav ela b'mizamenes atzma l'chol adam." Right, a cry. You know, what if she's a, you know, there's like a long-standing relationship between them, even if it isn't marriage, and so on and so forth. That's one way to read the Rambam. The way I believe that the Rambam should be read, which is the way other Mosakelim did. But if you look in Arabasula and Mefatas, one of the key elements to all this, and say Pramitzos and so on, the way I think that you have to coordinate the Rambams is that he's saying the opposite, and that is any relationship, physical relationship outside of Ishus for a hedyot, if it's below Kiddushin, then by definition it's called Boel Isha L'shem Znus. That's the Rambam's Shita. And that's how the Rambam views, Pilegesh / Kadesha. Okay, that's the introduction. Now, in Sefer Mitzvos, getting back to Shua was reading, you have the line in there, again, Shwer the Chinnun, hey? The Rambam says that Kadesha includes Belok Suba, right? And again, in Koteret, Perek the Koteret, as we know, what does the Rambam say? The second one, right? The first one we didn't know the problem. Shelo tival isha below ksuva v'kidusha. Right, that's his reference to Kadesha. It's also, by the way, very, I believe, intentional that if you look at Perek Aleph in Hilchos Ishah's Halacha Dalid, it echoes. I could see when I was reading it, there were people who were like following, and then all of a sudden, you know, I got to like the fifth or sixth or seventh word or whatever it is, they were like, you know, a little bit, you know, it was a little jarring for them. Am I right? Right. So basically, the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, starts off, you know, by saying, Kodim, we'll talk about this Rambam a lot, Kodim Matan Toriyah Dam Pogea Yisha Bishuk, Imratza Huvihi Lisosa, right, Machnisa Lebeso Bala Beno Lebein Atzmo Vatiel Ali Yisha, Kim Shinit Natora Nitztavi Yisrael, right? Then in Halacha Dalet, it sounds like the Rambam is starting again. That's why, like, people thought I was reading Halacha Aleph, right? The Kodematan Tori Adam Pogeisha Bishuk Emratza Huvihi Nos, but here it's Nosei Lo Schara Bala Salema Derach Vaholeklo. Vzuya Nikra Kadesha. Misha Nitna Torah. So, in my opinion, again, the Rambam's literary, you know, prowess. Is exactly, you know, demonstrated here. Rama intentionally wanted you to read these things as a parallel. Rama saying Matan Torah, you know, transformed how we define Kiddushin or Ishus, marriage, and for exactly the same reason, right? It also transformed how we look at, you know, relationships outside of Ishus. It didn't just redefine, you know, what is required to create Ishus, right? It also made Ishus the exclusive mechanism, right, for a relationship, right, with the, you know, two exclusions of Yud and Ama Ivriya and Melech, obviously, and Pilagesh. And not because, again, those are Heter Zus, but because the frameworks there allow for, you know, something else. Anyways, that's what the Rambam's doing. So the fact that he introduces ksuva to all of this, you know, is again, in my opinion, problematic from two points of view. The Ramban's critique is, Shua, you have it there? Same thing, you have the line? You have it? Robbie? Go ahead. Yeah, so the Ramban, once again, Lishita, exactly what he says against Rashi ala Torah is what he turns against the Rambam here in Sefer Mitzvahs, right? He basically says, how could you're dealing with a definition d'oraisa, how could you quote ksuva? So what does Megillas Esther say? You see it? Did I put Megillas Esther on the Marmon Columns? Are you not up there yet? Are you there? You have it? What? Oh, it is there. Anybody see it? Yaakov?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Huh? Last one.
I thought I would be behind, but yeah.
That
the Rambam Paskin's all right, exactly. Oh, you grew a beard, right? Or it's a Chutzlar thing. Okay. He says what does the Rambam want from the Rambam? He holds Ksuvah D'oraisa. So what's the problem with that? Yeah, so I think Kinas Ofrim or one of the other, you know, people all the time say, that's very nice for the Megillas Esther to say, but maybe you should just look in Yad HaChazakah to see if it's true, right? Unless what he meant to say was, you know, that this is the Rambam's view in Sefer HaMitzvos, and this is Sefer HaMitzvos. But that doesn't, you know, solve the problem so much, at least once we, you know, firstly, we generally presume, you know, that the Rambam didn't change his mind. I mean, we know now and then that he did. But the default assumption, let's say, is consistency until he tells us otherwise, until there's evidence otherwise. B, once again, cumulatively, this is fitting in with, you know, Koteret number one, Koteret number two, and Hilchos Melachim. So the Ramban's rejection right, and the Megillas Esther's answer, you know, are both problematic. As I said, even if we were to hold like the Megillas Esther, you know, to me, this would still be peculiar, because it may be true, you know, that the ksuva is deraisa and that there's no ksuva, you know, in the case of Kadesha, but is that part of the Hagadara of what Kadesha is, right? So let's mention one other, because we're going to have to stop, I guess, in 1 minute. We always stop on time, right? We never, ever go over time. So, but maybe I guess the first day we should try to stop on time. So, and it's Wednesday. So, yeah. So one other Rambam just to mention, and that is the Rambam in Hilchos Nara Basula. You guys saw already that? Shlomo, you got a chance to see it? What is Nara Basula? Perek Aleph Halacha... a gimel. Have it? In Nara Psula. Can you get to see it yet? You did or didn't? Not yet. Okay. Jonathan? Okay. I'm ahead. I thought I was going to be so behind because I had so many. Isaac. No one saw Nara Basula? Robbie. What? Good. And?
What exactly the process is for the main marrying the girl? What exactly is the process for the main marrying the girl?
Good, good. What else?
For the girl, so he mentions explicitly what's going to get some good about him.
No, no.
Because it's Kishara Basulos.
Whoa.
She receives the same amount as Basulos.
And therefore? Is that a problem or? Ah, okay. Meaning that's how the Mishnah Melech points out. Meaning, where did the Rambam get this halacha from? What the Rambam says is that a woman who is a mafata. You have the language? You just read the line.
So the imratzu, meaning to get married, bekanta in mashal and kenas, a because of laksuba kisharam sumos.
Yeah, if they get married, they're supposed to get married, or he's supposed to offer to marry her, right? They get married, and then now the question is, what kind of ksuva does she get? Right? She is a ba'ula. So why should she get a ksuva spesula if she's a ba'ula? Yeah, Leah? It wasn't. I mean, he was a mifat to her.
I know, but
you're just being very kind, which is good. It's a good thing to be. But, you know, we're very critical of him. He took advantage of her. Now, the halacha is that he's supposed to offer to marry her. But what he did at the time was not l'shem kiddushin, clearly. I mean, it's not, that isn't the kiddushin. He has to be mekadesh her now. You know, bifnei edim, he has to do a proper kiddushin. So it's very, you know, gallant of you, and you should always be gallant, right? But, you know, he wasn't. That's the, you know, sad, you know, but true situation. So the problem is, how does the Rambam know this halakha? There's no Gemara that says this. That's what the Mishnah Melech points. And that's why the Mishnah Melech is, you know, one of the amazing things. Mishnah Melech just points out, the Rambam says something and there's no makor for it, and it's not obvious. If you have something and the Rambam says that there's no makor for it, but it's obvious, that's one thing. She is a ba'ula. We could also psychologically understand. I mean, he made her a ba'ula, and that's the reason that he has to marry her. But who says that's enough for ksuvas masayim? So the Mishnah Melech actually gives an interesting answer. What's the answer? I didn't tell you to look at the whole Mishnah Melech, right? I gave you the Dimar Masko, as I recall. I was in a kind mood. No, that was the part that I had to see. Anybody see it, the Mishnah Melech? Shua.
He says that although in general, ksuvas is generally drabanan,
You're already ahead of the game. That's the second thing that he kind of says, and even then, I think I'm not sure he says it that way, although I think that's an interesting way to say it. Before we get to that, what's the first thing that he says, and then he asks, and then he says what you're saying? He makes a first suggestion. Where's the Rambam's makar?
He first points out that the Rambam's like Rashi.
He says, where's the Rambam's makar? The Rambam's makar, Ellie, here. The Rambam's makar is from Torah Shabbat Sav. Right? From Mohar Yimarena Lola Isha. He said the Rambam read the Psukim. He read Mohar Yimarena Lola Isha like Rashi, meaning marry her with a ksuva, meaning with a ksuva's psula. That's how he read the Psukim. So that's how he knows. Right? Torah Shebichsav can be a makar as well. 100%. Yeah. That's what he says. But then he says, that's what he says, right, Shua?
Yeah.
Then he says, except one big problem, and that is, if you hold, maybe which maybe Rashi holds, like Suvas Daraisa, then all fair game, all, you know, all is well. Then the Torah can refer to giving a Ksuva, but if you hold a Ksuva as only Drabanan, how could the words, Maria Marnali should be merrier with a Ksuva, if Ksuva is only Drabanan? And here's where, you know, he departs company with the, you know, Megillas Esther, and he says, Naisi Sefer V'Nechazi, at least in Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam says numerous places, right, as Yehuda pointed out before, that Ksuva is Drabanan. So if Ksuva is Drabanan, then the Pasuk can't refer to it, could it? So then he came up with this historical idea, right, similar to what the Ramban, you know, said about about the Pilegesh in Bereishis, you know, before you take it, you know, for David in postmodern Torah. He says, oh, well, maybe the Torah is, you know, even though the Torah is written L'dorei Doros and it's L'halacha, but it was kind of invoking, you know, and that's an interesting question. You have to be careful about that. I mean, the Mishnah Melech didn't mean it in any kind of problematic way, but meaning that this is what they did, and that's what the psukim mean, and it's a way of showing that in the end of the day, like, how do you make the transition between reading the pasuk that way and it actually being paskin that way, nochus nara basula? So that's kind of, you said it a little, I think, a little bit differently, although I like, you said, oh, here they dafka made ksuva daraisa. That's what you kind of said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you understood it? I don't know whether that's what he really says. But I thought he was saying something just a little bit different. But, you know, the in the end, the difference between what we're both saying is not going to be so major. But what, the reason you said that is, I don't think because he says that. I think it's because you were trying to understand what he says.
Yeah.
Right. So what does he mean? That's how do you get the transition from reading the pasuk? Fine, read the pasuk that way, but don't put it in Hilchos Nayar Basula. Right, Ellie? Okay. So just again, we're going to stop here. So I think that the basic idea that I'd like to convey. Number, I want to pick up tomorrow with the Gemara, the Mishnayos, the Gemara, the Rishonim, Ksuva D'Oraisa, Ksuva D'Rabbanan, and what it affects, and what the Rambam really says. But I think the basic idea that I'm really just trying to convey is that certainly if Ksuva is D'Oraisa, but possibly even if Ksuva is D'Rabbanan, right, what it reflects is not just Dine Maminus. That's really the idea. The idea is that it reflects something about, in a very dramatic way, in a very powerful way, it crystallizes one of the unique elements or the unique facets of the halacha's perspective on marriage and on ishus. And that is that the relationship has to be one of mutual respect and reliance. It has to be the kind of relationship in which the financial component really accentuates that, you know, this is a long-term relationship, not a casual one, right? One which is difficult to walk away from, and one which has all sorts of other repercussions. It isn't a narrow relationship. Those 3 points. And certainly if you hold Ksuva to be Daraisa, but maybe even if you hold Ksuva to be Drabanan, the impulse behind the Drabanan is still the idea Doraisa, an under certain understanding of what the Kiddushin and what the Nisuin is, and that is captured by this particular Drabanan. And I think that's what the, again, we'll explain each one when we pick up with this tomorrow, but I think that's what the Mishnah Melech maybe, or the way to interpret the Mishnah Melech, meaning this is what they did, but the main point is, this is what a little bit Eliyahu was like, you know, he wasn't gallant, but the point is, he basically exploited her, and he treated her, you know, like an object, and very poorly. And the remedy is that he mohar yimarena lo li'isha, meaning what he's got to do now to make it up to her, not just owe her, Nebuchadnezzar, it's also, but not only Nebuchadnezzar, marriage prospects have been, you know, undermined, and, you know, therefore, from a monetary and from a fairness point of view, he owes her that. It's more than that. He stripped her of her dignity, right, which also affects, you know, her future prospects, but more than that. For him really to redeem himself and to redress that, he should be marrying her in a manner which reflects respect, right, and not casualness or frivolity and exploitation, right, but the proper kavod that is due to her. So I think that's a pshat in Rashi and pshat in the Rambam, and the Rambam each in its own way. The pasuk says, Mar yimarena lo leisha. Marry her in a way, give her the ksuva when you marry her. So whether ksuva is daraisa, if ksuva is daraisa, certainly the question was, well, that's what you emphasize? Exactly, that's what you emphasize, because that's what was wrong here. That's why we want her to marry her, and we want him to marry her not like a shotgun marriage where, you know, she's damaged goods. He's the one who damaged her. But we want him to turn the clock back as if, right, this is a proper marriage to a basul. That's what the words Mar Yimarena Lo Leisha mean. That's why the Torah turned it into a verb and specifically took these words. So for Rashi, maybe Ksuva D'Oraisa, or maybe Ksuva D'Rabbanan. For the Rambam, let's assume the details of Ksuva are D'Rabbanan. But the Takana of Ksuva, which already was in existence then, I don't think you even have to say that it was Ksuva then. Maybe Mar Yimarena Lo Leisha means that Nekuda, that Yesod, which is a Doraisa Yesod, however it's implemented. Meaning, he has to do something which shows that he's redressing that. So we'll pick up with this tomorrow. First we'll go through the Rambam and Rashi in light of this, and then we'll talk about, you know, the Gemaras and Rishonim about Ksuva Doraisa Drabanan and some other variants.
Rashi Al-HaTorah.
Hold on a second. I press M.